بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, this afternoon, this is our ninth session, reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 1, Dr. Farah Abdurrahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Today, inshallah, we hope to complete lesson number 5, yani ad-dars al-khamis. Previously, in the previous session, we covered the English key for this lesson and the vocabulary, as well as the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson, on pages, Arabic text on page 27 now. And we also completed exercises 1 through 4 on pages 27 to 30. So today, inshallah, it is our intent to complete the remaining exercises beginning on page 30, exercises 5, 6, and 7. And then exercise 8 and 9 on page 31 and exercise 10 on page 32. Along with reviewing the vocabulary words, yani oral quiz on the vocabulary words, and perhaps, yani if Allah allows and we have time remaining, we'll preview the English key for lesson number 6. Okay, so today what we intend to do is have a quick review of the English key on pages 12 and 13. And then we're going to go right into the exercises that remain, starting with exercise number 5 on page 30. So let me just say, I feel it's incumbent upon me to constantly remind of the importance of al-muraja'a, yani review. Normally in the proposed schedule for the homework assignments for the week, the first couple of days normally we reserve for reviewing the lessons that we covered previously. Yani, for this week, we should have reviewed lessons 1, 2, 3, and 4, lessons that we completed. And that review, what I'm asking you to do in order to review those lessons, is to read the English key for the grammatical points, review the vocabulary, the new vocabulary for each lesson, and also to read the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson. And some lessons may have an Arabic text in the beginning and in the middle, if the lesson is divided into two parts. And these three things, the English key, the vocabulary, and the Arabic text, will cover everything that you need to know for that lesson. So if you read the English key and you understand the grammatical points and you remember them well, and you review the vocabulary and you know those words, and you read the Arabic text and you're able to read it, yani comfortably, without difficulty, comprehending what you read, recognizing the grammatical rules and the vocabulary, then that's sufficient. And inshallah, if we do this constantly on a weekly basis, reviewing the previous lessons, we'll find that the earlier lessons which we took, like 1 and 2, and maybe even 3, if we've reviewed them over the past 8 weeks, several times, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 times, then we'll find that it will become very, very easy to review them. And perhaps we'll find that after some time, we don't need to review them completely anymore. We might just, yani, look at the vocabulary and read the Arabic text, because maybe the grammatical rules, yani, will, yani, have become ingrained in our brain, and we won't even need to go over them again. Okay, so I encourage, I strongly urge, I highly recommend that we do muraja on the first couple of days of every week, reviewing the previous lessons that we have taken, and perhaps focusing on any matters, whether grammatical rules or vocabulary words, that we may not remember, we're highlighting them, making a note of them, and making sure that we review them, yani, constantly. Okay, that being said, let's look at a quick review of the English key on page 12 and 13. Okay, in this English key, there are 4 points that are mentioned. The first point is the main point, that is al-idhafa construction. The second point is related to the dharf al-makan, the word tahta. And the third point, the vocative ya, ya and nida. And the fourth point, words that begin with hamzatul wasl, like ibn and ism. So what I want to concentrate on is the Adolpha construction, the first point. And I want to say that everybody by now, we've had a chance to read and to review and to study together the Adolpha construction, what it is. And I want to say that I hope that everybody understands it by now very well. This is going to be the last time we're going to be talking about it in detail, until maybe at some point when we go back and review all the lessons, a quick review, maybe after we do 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 lessons. I'm not really sure when we'll need to go back and do that, but whenever we go back to review the lessons, maybe after 10 lessons, then we'll look at it again. But in the meanwhile, what you should know about the Adolpha construction. First, what is Al-Idalfa? Al-Idalfa, in English, it is called a construct phrase. What does this mean? It means that it's a phrase. It's an expression consisting of more than one word. And the, in this case, there are two words. They are brought together. They are used to construct a new meaning. Yani, the two words of the construct phrase, each of them has its own meaning. And then we're going to bring them together to construct a new meaning. That's called a construct phrase. A phrase, any expression of more than one word that's brought together to build or to construct a new meaning. Okay, so they gave us two examples, Kitabu Bilalin and Baytu Al-Imami. So, if we look at these two examples that they gave, we see that each of them is composed of or consists of two words. Okay, so Kitabu Bilalin, originally, it's constructed of two independent words that have their own meaning independently, and then we're going to build a new meaning when we bring them together in the construct phrase. So we have Kitabun means a book, and Bilalun means Bilal. That's the proper noun, a name of a person. Kitabun, a book, Bilalun, Bilal. Now we take these two words and put them together and make a new meaning, the book of Bilal. Okay, so the construct phrase, generally speaking, I would prefer that we have the literal translation of it, meaning the book of Bilal. Always we use this word of, okay? Otherwise, we can say Bilal's book, and it's the same meaning, okay? So what do we know from this example is that there are two words, and what you need to know about the Adolpha construction is that these two words each have a name that we call them by. So the first word is called the Mudhaf, and the second word is called the Mudhafun Ilayhi. The first word is the Mudhaf, and the second word is the Mudhafun Ilayhi. So this you have to know. You have to know that the Adolpha, yani in English it's a construct phrase, and the concept of the construct phrase is that they're two independent words that are brought together to construct a new meaning. Okay, the second thing you need to know is that each part of this construction has a name. One part, the first part is called Mudhaf, and the second part is called Mudhafun Ilayhi. Yani in the English key here, they said the first thing is the possessed, that's called the Mudhaf, and the second word is the possessor, it's called Mudhafun Ilayhi. And we said previously, and I'll repeat here, that it's not always the possessed and the possessor. Yani it could be, for example, Babul Bayti, something showing the relationship between two words. One is a part of the other. Babul Bayti, the door of the house, means the door is not possessed by the house, but it's a part of the house. Well, it could show a relationship between people like Ibn Muhammadin, the son of Muhammad. Yani, the son of Muhammad is not possessed or owned by Muhammad, but that's a relationship between them, between father and son. Okay? So, in any case, the second thing you need to know about Al-Idalfa, the construct phrase, is that the two elements of Idalfa each have a name. The Mudhaf, the first part, which they call here the thing possessed, and the Mudhafun Ilayhi, the possessor. Yani Kitabu Bilalun, the book of Bilal, the book is the possessed, and Bilal is the possessor. Okay, the next thing that they mention is that the Mudhaf, the first part, the possessed, neither takes the definite nor the indefinite article. So the first part of the Idalfa construction, yani in reference to definite and indefinite article, the first part of the Idalfa construction neither takes the definite article nor the indefinite article. Okay, so the first rule related to the Mudhaf and Mudhafun Ilayhi, and there are two rules. Well, there are four rules, but yani two matters that these rules are related to. The first matter of the rules of Idalfa is in reference to definite and indefinite article. Okay? So the first part of the Idalfa construction, the Mudhaf, never takes Alif Lam nor tanween. It doesn't take either the definite or indefinite article. As opposed to the second part of the idafa construction, the mudafu ilay, the possessor, it always takes either the definite article or the indefinite article. Okay, so the first rule is in reference to definiteness and indefiniteness. The first part, the mudaf, neither takes alif lam nor tanween. The second part takes either alif lam or tanween. First part takes neither alif lam or tanween. The second part must take one of them, either alif lam or tanween. So this is the first matter, the rule of the mudaf. It doesn't take alif lam or tanween. The rule of the mudaf ilayhi, it takes either alif lam or tanween. The second matter of the rules of idafa is in reference to the case ending, the i'rab. The i'rab. The first part, the mudaf, can have any case ending. It could be marfu'un with dhamma, majrurun with kasra, or mansubun with fatha. It can take any case ending. As far as the second part, the mudaf ilayhi, it can only take one case ending. That is, it is always mudafun ilayhi majrur. It's always majrur. Alright, so the second rule is in reference to i'rab, the case ending. The first part of the idafa construction takes any case. It can be marfu'un, it can be majrurun, it can be mansub. It depends on its position in the sentence. If it's the object of a preposition, it'll be majrur. If it's the object of a verb, it'll be mansub. If it doesn't have anything acting upon it, it's the subject of the sentence, for example, then it will be marfu'un. So it can take any case ending, depending on its function in the sentence. The second part of the idafa construction must always be majrur. Okay, so these are two matters, and there are two rules in reference to each part of the idafa construction. The first part, the mudaf, yani, it never takes alif lam or tanween, but it can take any case ending, marfu'un, mansub, or majrur. The second part always takes either alif lam or tanween, and it can only have one case ending, that is majrur. Okay, so this is very important. If you understand these four rules, or two matters with a rule related to each part, then yani, it will make the idafa construction easy for you. The two matters are what? In reference to definiteness and indefiniteness, and in reference to i'rab. Okay, also in the English key they mentioned that the second part of the idafa construction, the mudaf ilayhi, can sometimes be a word that is mabniyun, meaning it has a fixed ending, it doesn't change. So in that case, for example, they gave us kitabu men, the book of who, or whose book. Okay, we see that men is a word that is fixed, mabniyun, on sukun. So it's not going to change to kesra, even though it's the mudhafun ilayhi, and we say the mudhafun ilayhi is always going to be majrur, taking kesra, but if that word is a word that's mabniyun, that's fixed, then it's not going to change its vowel ending. The last thing that we want to mention in reference to the idafa construction is that the mudaf ilayhi is always going to be majrur. So, a word that is mudafun ilayhi is, this is one of the two reasons why a word can be majrur. There are only two primary reasons why a word, a noun in the Arabic language is going to be majrur. One is, as we learned in lesson 4, that is, if it's the object of a preposition, it's following fi, or ala, or min, or ila, it's the object of a preposition. So, the object of a preposition is always going to be majrur. The second reason why a word is going to be majrur is because it is the second part of an idafa construction, mudaf ilayhi, and therefore it is majrur. So, there are two reasons for a word to be majrur. Either it's the object of a preposition, or it's the second part of an idafa construction. So they gave us an example here. Ala maktabi al-mudarrisi. So maktabi is majrur because of what? It's the object of the preposition ala. And al-mudarrisi is majrur because what? It is the second part of an idafa construction. Yani maktabi al-mudarrisi. Mudarrisi is mudaf ilayhi majrur. So this example makes us to know that there are two primary reasons why a word is going to be majrur, either because it's the object of the preposition or it's the second part of an idafa construction. And there are also secondary reasons, meaning if a word is a not, as we will learn in lesson, I think 8 or 9, that if a word is a not, an adjective, it has to agree with the word that it's describing. So it could be majrur or mansub or marfu'un, depending on the word that it's describing. So there are also secondary reasons why a word can be majrur. or mansub or marfu, and we'll learn them in the future. For now, what we need to know is that there are only two fundamental primary reasons why a word is going to be majrur, and that is because it's the object of a preposition, we learned that in lesson 4, or it's the mudhafun ilayhi, we learned that in lesson 5. Okay, this is what I wanted to review with us, and I hope that, yani, I've taken some time to do this review of the idhafa, because we're going to be leaving this lesson, inshallah, we're going to finish it today, and we'll be referring back to it from time to time, but this is a very important fundamental grammatical rule that you have to learn well. Please, if there's any question about the idhafa, please go back and review the English key, or send us a question, inshallah, yani, in the chat box or by email. The remaining matters related to this, we're going to see them in the exercises that follow. Point number 2 of the English key in lesson 13, on page 13, is the word tahta. Tahta, which means under or underneath, is a dharf, yani an adverb. Dharf al-makan, an adverb of place, meaning it shows the place or the position of something. Yani when you say tahta al-kitab, it means that something is underneath the book. Tahta al-maktabi, it means that something is underneath the desk or the table. Okay, so tahta is an adverb, dharf al-makan, an adverb of place, and the noun that follows it is going to be mudhafun ilayhi majrur. So the noun that follows an adverb like tahta or fawqa, which means above, or amama, which means in front of, or khalfa, which means behind, the word that follows an adverb of place is always going to be mudhafun ilayhi majrur. The third point is ya and nida, the vocative particle used for calling somebody, getting their attention, like ya ustadu, or ya sheikhu, or ya bilalu, o bilal, o sheikh, o ustad. Yani this ya and nida, the vocative particle, the word following it is called the munada, and it's always going to be mabniun ala dhamma, single dhamma. Even though that word may originally have had a tanween, when it follows ya and nida, it's going to change to a single vowel, and that vowel is going to be dhamma. The last thing is that words like ismun and ibnun, which commence or begin with hamzatul wasl, when they are preceded by a word, the initial kasra is dropped in pronunciation. Okay, so just remember that these words, this kasra, is added. The vowel of hamzatul wasl is an added vowel, and it's only necessary to use it when we begin with that word. But if there's another word before it, then we're going to connect the vowel of the word before it to the letter after the hamzatul wasl, which is going to be a letter with sukoon. We're going to just connect them together, and this is the rule related to words that begin with hamzatul wasl, that whenever there's a word before it, then we're going to join that word to the letter with sukoon after hamzatul wasl. Okay. That's the end of what we wanted to do in reference to the English key, a final review of the grammatical points of lesson number 5. Now we're going to go to the exercises. Where we left off, we finished exercises 1, 2, 3, and 4. So we're going to begin with exercise number 5 on page 30. Okay, so please turn to page 30. What we're looking at here in exercise number 5 is an exercise related to al-idhafa. Yani, this exercise number 5 and exercise number 6, which follows, are also exercises related to al-idhafa. Okay? So, the instruction says, كَوِّن جُمَلًا مُفِيدَةً بِمَلْئِ الْفَرَاغِ فِيمَا يَلِي. These instructions are part of the lesson, okay? So you have to learn the meaning of the instructions. If you get stuck, you can always go back to the English key. And as part of the English key, we will see, in this particular lesson, we'll see, for example, on page 14, the translation, general, yani, translation of the exercise instructions, okay? Before the vocabulary words. We see a translation of the exercise instructions. It's not a literal translation, but it's just a summary, meaning, yani, just giving you the idea of what that exercise requires of you. Okay, so in this particular exercise, it says, kawin means to compose. Jumalan, sentences. Sentences, jumal is the plural of jumla. Compose sentences mufidatan, which are beneficial, meaning complete sentences. A sentence that has all of its essential elements. For example, a jumla ismiya has two essential elements, yani a nominal sentence, the subject and the predicate, mubtada and khabar. So they want you to compose a sentence that is mufida, meaning it's complete. It has all of its essential elements. And how are you to compose it? Be by mal'i, filling in al-faragi, the blank spaces, or the empty spaces. Fima, in what? Yali, follows. Okay, compose beneficial or complete sentences by filling in the blanks in what follows. Okay, so they have sentences here, but one word is missing from that sentence. They want you to fill in that word. And that word is going to be part of the idafa construction in that sentence. Each of these sentences is going to have an idafa construction. And that idafa construction is going to be missing one part, either the first part or the second part. So they want you to fill in a word that will complete the idafa construction and complete the sentence. Okay, this was for homework, so hopefully everybody has already written out these 10 sentences with the missing word, okay, that is going to make sense there. Okay, some of these sentences obviously could be filled in with different words, okay, but in any case, as long as it makes sense, it's okay. Okay, so the first sentence has blank, al-bayt mughlaq. Okay, so that means something of the house is mughlaq. Mughlaqun means what? Closed or locked. Okay, now this exercise requires us to fill in the blank space with one of the two parts of the idafa construction that's missing, and it also requires us to translate the final meaning of the sentence after we fill it in, right? So part of the exercise is filling in the blank space. Part of it is reading the sentence and translating the sentence. Okay, keeping in mind the rules of idafa. Remember, if it's the first part of the idafa construction that's missing, then it's not going to take alif lam, nor is it going to take tanween. As far as its vowel, generally speaking, its vowel is going to be dhamma. But if the first part of the construct phrase is following a preposition, it's going to change to kasra. What's important, it's not going to take tanween, it's not going to take alif lam. Its vowel, remember we said the vowel for the mudhaf can be any case ending. It could be dhamma, kasra, or fatha, depending on its position. Usually, yani in these examples here, usually it's going to be a dhamma. But if it's following a preposition, then it could take a kasra. Okay, so the first one, again, they have a blank space. They have al-bayt, and then mughlaqu, it should have been read something like this. Babu al-bayti mughlaqun. The door of the house is closed. Okay, babu should have a single vowel and should be dhamma because it's the mubtada. And it's also the mudhaf, but it takes dhamma because it's the mubtada. Al-bayt should have kasra because it's the mudhafun ilayhi, and mudhafun ilayhi is always majroor, the primary sign. Right now we're just working with the primary signs of something being majroor. The primary sign is kasra. So it should be babul bayti mughlaqun. Bab is the mubtada, al-bayti is the mudhafun ilayhi, and mughlaqun is the khabar. Sentence number two. We have aina, blank space, as-sayyara. Okay, where is the something of the car? Okay, I put in that space the key of the car, or the car key. Okay, the key of the car. I put miftahu. Aina miftahu as-sayyarati. Again, miftah here is the first part of the construct phrase, so it's not going to take alif lam or tanween. And as-sayyara is the second part of the construct phrase, the mudhafun ilayhi. So it always has to be majroor with kasra. Aina miftahu sayyarati. Where's the key of the car or the car key? Number three. Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallama rasulu. And then a blank space. Okay? So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of, that's clear, right? We can only get one answer here pretty much. Yani Allahi. Rasulullahi. Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullahi. Okay? So, The Rasul is the first part of the idafa construction. It can't take alif lam with tanween. And since it's the khabar of this sentence, it has to be marfu'un with dhamma. And the lafz al jalala is the mudafun ilayhi majrur with kasra. Number four. Blank. At-tabibi ba'idun. The something of the doctor is far or far away. What of the doctor is far away? Yani, maybe the office of the doctor, the home of the doctor, or whatever. It could be different words. I put the home of the doctor. Baytu at-tabibi ba'idun. The house of the doctor is far. Okay, again, bayt here is the mubtada, and ba'id is the khabr. And tabib is the mudafun ilayhi majroor. So tabib has to take kasra. And make sure you write in the vowels for these words. And if they're words with no vowels, please put the vowel ending so that you get used to recognizing what the vowel ending should be. Baytu is the mubtada, so it has to be marfu'un with dhamma. It doesn't take tanween, it doesn't take alif lam. The second part of the idafa construction has to either take tanween or alif lam. So we have alif lam, therefore its vowel is going to be a single kasra. Baytu al-tabibi ba'idun. Number five. Al-Qur'anu kitabu, and then a blank. Okay? Al-Qur'an is the mubtada, kitabu is the khabar. So both of them have to be marfu'un with dhamma. Al-Qur'anu, the Qur'an is the book of Allah. So I wrote Al-Qur'anu kitabullahi. Kitabu being the khabar, it has to be marfu'un with dhamma. It takes a single dhamma because the mudaf never takes alif lam or tanween. And the lafz al-jalala, Allahi, yani is the mudafun ilayhi. So it's going to be majrur with kasra. Number six, Khadijatu blank Hamidin. Okay, Khadija is the something of Hamid. Something of Hamid, okay? So Khadija is the mubtada. Mubtada is always marfu'un with dhamma. The blank word is going to be the khabar. So the khabar is also going to be always marfu'un with dhamma. But it has to have a single dhamma, because as the mudaf, first part of the construct phrase, it can't take alif lam or tanween, so it's going to have a single dhamma. And hamidin is going to be the mudafun ilayhi majrur with kasra. Here it doesn't have alif lam, so it's going to have a double kasra. Remember, the mudaf ilayhi is always majrur. It can take a single kasra or double kasra depending on if it has alif lam or not. If it has alif lam, it takes a single kasra. If it does not have alif lam, then it's going to take a double kasra. Okay, so I put here Khadija is the something of Hamid. It could have been the wife of Hamid, the sister of Hamid, the daughter of Hamid. Any of those words can go, as long as it makes sense and it completes the sentence. I put bintu Hamidin. Khadijatu bintu Hamidin. Okay, Khadija is the daughter of Hamid. We could have put Khadijatu ukhtu Hamidin. Or Khadijatu zawjatu Hamidin. In any case, the important thing is that the word that's missing here is the mudaf. It should not have alif lam. It should not have tanween. And here it has to take dhamma because it's the khabar of the sentence. Remember, mubtada and khabar are the two essential parts of a jumla ismiya, nominal sentence. Both of them are always marfu'un with dhamma. Okay, number seven. Yani, we're still doing exercise number five on page 30. If anybody's just joining us, we're on exercise number five, page 30. Sentence number seven. Sentence number seven. Ana blank al-mudarrisi. I am the something of the teacher. I am something of the teacher. Okay? So, we could have put, I am the, yani, son of the teacher, the daughter of the teacher, the spouse, the wife of the teacher, yani, friend of the teacher. Any word that makes sense here is okay. I put Ibn, the son of the teacher. Ana Ibnu al-Mudarrisi. If we join these words together, we will say anabnu, anabnul mudarrisi, because ana plus ibnu, we join it together, hamzatul wasl, right? We don't pronounce the kasra of ibn, we say anabnu. And then also we can join ibnu to the teacher, ibnul mudarrisi, anabnul mudarrisi, I am the son of the teacher. Ana is the mubtada, ibnu is the khabar, and as the khabar it has to take dhamma. The khabar is always marfu'un with dhamma. It takes a single vowel, because as the mudaf, first part of a construct phrase, ibnul mudarrisi, yani the mudaf never takes alif lam or tanween, al mudarrisi, mudafun ilayhi, always takes, and is always majroor. It can take a single kasra or double kasra. Since it has alif lam here, it takes a single kasra. Number 8. Blank, at-talib maksurun. Yani the something of the student is broken. Okay? Again, many words could be put in here. What is important is that it has to make sense. We could say the pen of the student is broken, the desk of the student is broken, or in other words, okay? But here I put the desk. Yani the desk of the student or the student's desk is broken. Okay, so I put maktabu at-talibi maksurun. Maktabu at-talibi maksurun. Okay, maktab is the mubtada, so it has to have, it has to be marfu'un with dhamma. Alright, it doesn't take alif lam or tanween because it's the mudaf, first part of a construct phrase. So it has a single dhamma. At-talibi is the mudafun ilayhi, it's majroor. It has to take kasra. Since it already has alif lam, it can't take tanween, so it has a single kasra. Maktabu talibi maksurun. The desk of the student is broken. Number 9. Babu blank maftuhun. The door of something is open. Could be the door of the masjid, the door of the house, the door of the school, the door of the office. I put the door of the school. Babu al-madrasati maftuhun. Okay, bab is the mubtada. Mubtada is always marfu'un with dhamma. Here it has a single dhamma because it's also the mudaf of this idafa construction. The mudaf never takes alif lam or tanween. Al-madrasa is mudafun ilayhi, the second part of the construct phrase, is always majroor, and therefore takes kasra, a single kasra or a double kasra. Since it has alif lam here, then it has to take a single kasra. Babul madrasati maftuhun. Bab is the mubtada, al-madrasa is the mudafun ilayhi, and maftu is the khabar. Khabar is always marfu'un. Number 10. Kharaja al-mudarrisu min blank al-mudiri. Yani the mudarris, the teacher, kharaja, went out from something of the mudir, from the house of the mudir, from the office of the mudir, whatever, okay, as long as it makes sense. But here, probably what is more meaningful is that the teacher went out from the office of the principal. Okay, so I put maktab. Kharaja al-mudarrisu min maktabi al-mudiri. Notice that maktab here is the first part of the construct phrase. Maktabil mudiri. But here it doesn't have dhamma. Why? Because here in its function, it is the object of the preposition min. And the object of a preposition, as we learned in lesson 4, is always majrurun with kasra. So here this reminds us that the first part of the construct phrase is not always going to take dhamma. Even though in all the previous examples, we saw that the first part of the construct phrase had dhamma. But it's not always going to be dhamma. If it's following a preposition, then it's going to have to be kasra. If it was the object of a verb, it would have to be fatha. Okay, so this is what I wrote. Kharaja al-mudarrisu min maktabil mudiri. Min maktabi al-mudiri. Yani the teacher went out from the office of the principal. One other note I want to mention here is that this sentence begins with a verb. So this is a verbal sentence. And a verbal sentence has to have a fi'l and a fa'il. It has to have a fi'l, the verb, and the doer of the verb, the fa'il. And the fa'il, like mubtada and khabar, is always marfu'un. And if we have a verb, then the one who's doing the action of the verb is called the fa'il, the doer of the action of the verb. It's always going to be marfu'un with dhamma. That's why I should read kharaja al-mudarrisu min maktab al-mudiri. Okay, this is the end of exercise number 5. This is an exercise related to what? Al-idhafa, the construct phrase, composed of two parts, the mudhaf and the mudhaf ilayhi. And the rules that we said early in the beginning of this lesson is that the mudhaf never takes alif lam or tanween. The mudhaf ilayhi takes either one of them, either alif lam or tanween. The mudhaf can take any case ending. It could be marfu'un with dhamma, majrurun with kasra, or mansub with fatha. It can take any case ending. As far as the mudhaf ilayhi, it is always majrur, and the primary sign of a word being majrur is kasra. Okay, let's go on to exercise number 6. The instruction says, صحح, yani make صحيح, make it correct. Correct التركيبات, the constructions, yani the تركيبات, meaning when you put things together. التالية, following, yani the following constructions. Okay, so these constructions are going to be, these تركيبات are going to be construct phrases, yani consisting of two parts, a مضاف and a مضاف إليه. And remember, as we have repeated throughout this lesson, the rules of idhafa. The first part of idhafa can never take alif lam or tanween. So be careful that it doesn't have alif lam or tanween. The second part of the idhafa construction must always be majrur with kasra. So make sure that the second part of the idhafa construction always has kasra. If it has alif lam, it's going to be a single kasra. If it doesn't have alif lam, it's going to be a double kasra. Okay, I'm going to read it as it is, first with the mistake, and then we're going to read it after that with the correction. Okay, so you should be yani paying attention to what you have already written as a homework assignment, and make sure that you have gotten all of these examples correct. Okay, so the first line, it says, and we're going to go across. The first line says, Al-qalamu at-talibi. Okay, so what's wrong with this construction? Yani, the first part of the idhafa construction never takes alif lam. So you have to remove the alif lam and just make it, instead of al-qalamu, it should be qalamu at-talibi. Qalamu at-talibi. The pen of the student, and then whatever. We don't have to finish the sentence, we just have to correct the construct phrase here, okay? If you finish the sentence, alhamdulillah, that's even better, but that's not required for this exercise, okay? So it should be, instead of al-qalamu, qalamu. The second part of the construct phrase has alif lam, so it's going to take a single vowel, and it has to be majrur with kasra. Qalamu at-talibi. The pen of the student, for example, is maksurun, broken. Going across, we have babu as-sayyaratu. What's wrong with this construction? The first part is fine. The second part looks good, except the vowel on the end is dhamma, and the second part of a construct phrase must always be majrur with kasra. So it should read babu sayyarati, the door of the car. Yani, for example, is maftuhun, open, or whatever. You don't have to finish the sentence. You have to just correct the mistake. Going down to the next line from the right, we have bintu hamidun. Okay, the first part is fine. It doesn't have alif lam or tanween. The second part has tanween. It doesn't have alif lam, so tanween is fine. But the second part of a construct phrase has to be mudafun ilayhi majrur. That means it has to take kasra. So we have to change hamidun to hamidin, bintu hamidin, the daughter of Hamid. Going across on line 2, we have ar-rasulu allahi. Okay, what's wrong here? The alif lam on the first part, we should not have alif lam or tanween. It should be just Rasulullahi, the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Going down to line 3, we have ismu al-walada. Ismu al-walada. Yani the son, the name of the boy, the name of the child. The first part is fine. It doesn't have alif lam or tanween. Its vowel can be dhamma, kasra, or fatha. Doesn't matter. It depends on its function in the sentence. The second part has alif lam, that's fine. It has to have either alif lam or tanween. Its vowel though is fatha, And remember, the second part of the construct phrase is mudafun ilayhi majrur. Has to take kasra. Ismu al-waladi. Going across, we have ibnun al-mudarrisi. Al-mudarrisi. Oh, I don't know if there's any vowel on mudarris, but it has to be kasra, right? Mudafun ilayhi majrur. The problem here is with the first part of the construct phrase, it has tanween. Remember, first part of the construct phrase never takes alif lam or tanween. So we have to change it from ibnun to ibnu al-mudarrisi, the son of the teacher. Okay, so this exercise number 6 is just reviewing the rules of idafa and making sure that we know what are the rules for the first part of the construct phrase. It can have any vowel ending, but it can't take alif lam or tanween. And the second part of the construct phrase must always end with kasra, a single or a double kasra, and it must take either alif lam or tanween. Okay, exercise number 7 is a new matter. This is ya and nida, the vocative ya. So we said that the rule here is that when a noun follows the vocative ya, then it's going to be mabniun on ala dhamma, yani it's fixed upon a single dhamma. Even if it had tanween before, it has to change to a single vowel, and that vowel must be dhamma. There are different types of munada, yani following ya and nida, but what we are looking at now is the first type, and this is the rule for it. Yani if it's a proper noun, it's going to change from, for example, Muhammadun to ya Muhammadu. If it's a common noun, yani an indefinite noun, nakira, but even though it's indefinite, and indefinite means that it's any teacher or any child or any yani man, but if that person is intended by the call, yani it's known that when somebody is saying yani, for example, ustadhun, going across, the second example they gave us is ustadhun, means a teacher. So if somebody wants to say oh teacher without mentioning their name, so this means that it's nakira. Ustadhun is nakira, but when it follows ya and nida, if that teacher, a particular teacher, is intended, then it's going to be mabniun ala dhamma. It's going to take a single dhamma vowel. So ustadhun becomes ya ustadhu. Okay, the details of this we'll save for later, but the point is they gave us two types of munada. The munada is the word that comes after ya and nida, the one that's being called. One type is a proper noun. When that's used, it has to take a single dhamma. And the other type is an indefinite common noun, but the person who's being called, a specific person, is intended. Even though the word is originally indefinite, but a specific person is intended. In that case, it also has to take a single dhamma. So Muhammadun became ya Muhammadu. And ustadhun, a teacher, became ya ustadhu, o ustadh. And then they give us two more examples. Khalidun, Khalid, became ya khalidu with a single vowel. And waladun, a boy, any boy, but now I'm calling a specific one of those yani boys. So yani if it's known that I intend a particular one of the boys, waladun, which is originally indefinite, now it's going to take a single vowel, ya waladu. The technical term for this is, the second type of word here is an nakira, an indefinite noun, al maqsood, that is intended, bin nida'i. Yani an nakiratu al maqsoodu bin nida'i. Yani the indefinite noun, common noun, that is intended by the call. Yani I intend a specific person, even though the word is originally indefinite, but I intend a specific person. So it follows the same rule as a proper noun, like Muhammadun or Khalidun. Both of these type of words are going to, after ya and nida, take a single dhamma. Okay, so that's the explanation of the ya and nida. And the details of it we'll study in the future. The exercise for number 7 on the bottom of page 30 says, Iqra, waktub ma'a dhabti awakhiri al-kalimati. Read and write ma'a with Dabti, making exact or precise, awakhiri, the endings of al-kalimati, the words. Okay, so what they want you to do, a word is either going to have ya and nida before it, or it's not going to have ya and nida before it. excuse me, if it doesn't have Ya Nida, then it's going to take Dhamma Tain, double Dhamma, Tanween. If it does have Ya Nida, it has to change to a single Dhamma. Okay, so let's read together, paying attention to the rules of An-Nida. Ya Nida. The Munada after Ya Nida must always take a single Dhamma. This is the first type of Munada. We'll see other types with different rules in the future. Okay, so the first word you should have read, or you should have written it out with its vowel ending, should be Ya Aliyu. Yani, originally Ali is a masculine proper noun, takes tanween, remember? Masculine proper nouns take tanween, feminine proper nouns do not take tanween. This is a masculine proper noun, so it originally had tanween. Aliyun, after Ya Nida, became Ya Aliyu, with a single Dhamma vowel. The second one, Abbasun, becomes Ya Abbasu, with a single Dhamma vowel. Sheikhun remains with its tanween. It doesn't have alif lam, so it has tanween. Doesn't change because there's no Ya and Nida. But if Ya and Nida came, it became Ya Sheikhu, with a single Dhamma vowel. Ya, the next one, Ya Rajulu. Yani Rajulun, after Ya Nida, became Ya Rajulu, single Dhamma vowel. Yasirun, that's a man's name, a masculine proper noun. Yasirun, if it was followed by Ya and Nida, that's not Ya Sirun. That's one word, Yasirun. That's not Ya and Nida, that's a name, Yasirun. But if it was preceded by Ya Nida, then it would be Ya Yasiru, if it was preceded by Ya Nida. The next line, Ammarun, after Ya Nida, becomes Ya Ammaru. The next word, dukturun, means a doctor. Dukturun. After Ya Nida becomes Ya Dukturu. Ya Dukturu. Okay, let's turn to page 31. Page 31, exercise number 8. At the top of the page, it says, instruction, Iqra, read, Al-Mithala, the example, Al-Atiya, the following, and you read the following example, Thumma Qawwin, then compose. After reading the example, compose As'ilatan, questions. Mithlahu, questions just like it, in the same format. Mushiran, pointing. Ila, to. As-suwari, the pictures. At-taliyati, the following pictures. Okay, read the following example. Iqra al-mithal al-ati. Thumma Qawwin, then compose. As'ilatan, questions, mithlahu, just like it, mushiran, pointing, ila suwari at-taliyati, pointing to the following pictures. Okay, so they gave you a picture, and pointing to that picture, you're going to ask a question about the picture. The example they gave us, kitabu men hadha, the book of who is this? Yani, whose book is this? Okay, here, the rule that I want to remind us of in this exercise is that when men, which is a word that's mabniyun, it's fixed on sukoon, its vowel is not going to change because of its i'rab. Yani, even though it's the second part of the construct phrase, the mudhaf ilayhi, and we know that the second part of a construct phrase is always majroor. But this word is fixed, it's mabniyun, therefore its vowel is not going to change. That's the rule that we want to look at in this exercise. Kitabu men, the book of who? Men is the mudhafun ilayhi, but we don't say it's majroor, rather it's fixed, indeclinable, mabniyun. Kitabu man hadha, whose book is this? Okay, looking at that picture, we're pointing at it saying, kitabu man hadha, whose book is this? Okay, now the second picture we have is a pen, so the question that you're going to compose, just like the previous question, is going to be the pen of who is this? Whose pen is this? Okay, you should have written, qalamu man hadha. Qalamu man hadha, whose pen is this? Remember, kitabu has a single vowel. Qalamu should have a single vowel because it's the first part of an idalfa construction. The next picture is the picture of a shirt. So it should be, whose shirt is this? Yani, the word for shirt is qamisu. Qamisu man hadha. Qamisu man hadha. The shirt of who is this? Whose shirt is this? The next picture is the picture of a house. So it should be the house of who? Whose house is this? يعني it should be بيت من هذا. Whose house is this? And the last picture is the picture of a bed. A bed. The word for bed is what? We had that in lesson 1. سرير. Okay, سرير. The bed of who is this? Or whose bed is this? So سرير, because it's the first part of the construct phrase, is going to change to a single vowel. سرير من هذا. سرير من هذا. Whose bed is this? Okay, so this exercise is designed for us to remember that sometimes the second part of a construct phrase could be a word that's مبنيون. It's indeclinable. It's fixed. So its vowel is not going to change, even though it is the مضاف إليه. The next exercise on the bottom of page 31 is exercise number 9. يعني related to حمزة الوصل. يعني remember there are two types of حمزة in Arabic language. حمزة الوصل and حمزة القط. حمزة الوصل is the حمزة that's added to a word that originally began with سكون. Like اسمون originally begins with سين, with سكون. It has no vowel. And ابنون originally begins with باء, with سكون. It has no vowel. So they added the حمزة الوصل with كسرة, because in Arabic they say we cannot begin a word without a vowel. So we're going to add حمزة الوصل, and the vowel that they elected for these words is كسرة. So يعني سين with سكون becomes اسمون, and باء with سكون becomes ابنون. And the rule here is that this vowel, whenever there's a word before it, whether it's a complete word like يعني كتاب or مكتب or whatever, or it's just a particle like the باء, the preposition باء, or the preposition لي, or anything like this, whatever it is, whenever there's a word before, its vowel is not going to be pronounced, and rather we're going to connect the last vowel of the word before it to the letter with سكون after حمزة الوصل, in this case the سين or the باء. Okay, if we begin with that word, we're going to pronounce this vowel. If there's anything before it, we're not going to pronounce the vowel. We're just going to join the vowel of whatever's before it to the letter with سكون after حمزة الوصل, in this case the سين with سكون or the باء with سكون. Okay, so the first one is going to be with the word اسمون, means a name. So we have, you should read, اسم الولد محمد. The name of the boy is Muhammad. واسم البنت زينب. The name of the boy is Muhammad. واسم, don't say واسم, rather واسم البنت زينب, and the name of the girl is Zainab. Second line should read اسم المدرس حامد, period. The name of the teacher is Hamid. ما اسم المدير, what is the name of the principal? Again, ما اسم, we're not reading ما اسم, rather ما اسم المدير. And also we should note here that from the rules of حمزة الوصل is that if the word before it ends with a long vowel, the long vowel is going to be pronounced as a short vowel. We learned this in the primer, yani in the last 10 lessons which deal with special rules in Arabic language related to reading and writing. We learned that what? That whenever a word ends with a long vowel before حمزة الوصل, we're going to pronounce it as a short vowel. So we're not going to say ما اسم, and we're not going to say ما اسم. We're going to say ما اسم, ما اسم المدير. Okay, let's go to the word ابنون. ابنون means a son. The first line we have, ابن خالد في المدرسة. وابن, not وابن, وابن حامد في الجامعة. يعني ابن خالد, the son of خالد, في المدرسة, is in the school. وابن حامد, and the son of حامد, في الجامعة, is in the university. Next line should read ابن المدرس في الفصل, period. أين ابن المدير, أين ابن المدير. ابن المدرس, the son of the teacher, is in the classroom. في الفصل. Here again, in this first sentence, I just want to note here, just as a side note, ابن المدرس, مدرس is مضاف إليه مجرور with كسرة. في الفصل is يعني جاء والمجرور preposition and the object of the preposition. So here we have المدرسي is مجرور because it's مضاف إليه, and we have الفصلي is مجرور because it is the object of a preposition. These are the two fundamental primary reasons why a person, why a noun in Arabic is مجرور. The second sentence, second part of this sentence, أين ابنو, we're going to join it together, أين ابنو المديري, we can join all of them together, أين ابنو المديري, where's the son of the مدير, again, we're not going to say أين ابنو, we're going to say أين ابنو المديري. Okay, let's turn to page 32, the last exercise, exercise number 10. The instruction says, اقرأ, read, ما يلي, what follows, مراعيا, يعني complying with or observing, قواعد, the rules, نطقي, of pronouncing or pronunciation of حمزة الوصلي, the حمزة الوصل. Okay, read, what follows, observing, or being in compliance with the qawaid, the rules of pronunciation of Hamzat al-Wasl. So what is the rules of pronunciation of Hamzat al-Wasl? The rules are that if you begin with that word with Hamzat al-Wasl, you pronounce its vowel. If anything is before it, then you don't pronounce its vowel. Okay, number one, should read Ibn Muhammadin. We're going to pronounce the vowel here because we begin with it. Ibn Muhammadin في العراق وابن, not وابن, وابن حامد في الهند, يعني the son of Muhammad is in العراق and the son of Hamid is in India. Number two, خرج, يعني خرج, the original word يعني ابن, but because there's something preceding ابن, we're not going to pronounce the كسره, so we're going to pronounce what, the last vowel of the word that precedes with it, which is jim with fatha. We're going to pronounce that vowel and join it to the ba, the letter with sukun after hamzat al-wasl. So we're going to say kharajabnu at-tabibi min al-bayti, kharajabnu at-tabibi min al-bayti. Okay, kharaja is a verb, so ibnu is the fa'il, the one that's doing the action of the verb. Who went out? Ibn al-Tabibi. So Ibn as the fa'il has to take Dhamma. And al-Tabib is mudafun ilayhi. It has to take Kasra. And al-Bayti is the object of the preposition. So it also has to take Kasra. So again, we have two words here. Al-Tabibi is majroor with Kasra because it's mudafun ilayhi, second part of a construct phrase. And al-Bayt is majroor with Kasra because it is the object of the preposition. Okay, so the son of the doctor went out from the house. Ibn al-Tabibi, yani kharaj ibn al-Tabibi min al-Bayti. The son of the doctor went out from the house. Number three. Again, we have ibn al-Tajir, but ibn has a word preceding it, so we're going to join the last vowel of the word preceding it to the letter with sukun after hamzat al-wasl, in this case, the ba. So we're going to say, ذهب ابن التاجر إلى السوق, ذهب ابن التاجر إلى السوق, يعني ذهب is a verb, the فاعل is ابن, the فاعل remember is always مرفوع with ضمة, so we're going to say ذهب ابن التاجر, التاجر is the مضاف إليه مجرور, إلى السوق, السوق is the object of the preposition إلى, it's also مجرور. These two words are مجرور for the two reasons that a word can be مجرور. At-tajri is the mudaf ilayhi, and as-suqi is the object of the preposition ila. Number four. Ismu al-muhandisi faysalun. Wasmu, not wa ismu. Wasmu al-tabibi mas'udun. Ismu al-muhandisi, the name of the engineer, is faysalun. It's faysal. Wasmu, and the name of At-Tabibi, the doctor, is Mas'udun. Number five. Again, we have Ismu Ar-Rajuli, the name of the man. But before Ismu, we have a word. So we're not going to pronounce the kasra. Rather, we're going to pronounce the vowel of the last letter before Hamzatul Wasl. We're going to connect it to the seen, yani the letter after Hamzatul Wasl. Okay? So this first word is ma, but remember we said Hamzatul Wasl, whenever it's preceded by a word that ends with a long vowel, the long vowel is going to be pronounced short. So we have two things here. We're not going to pronounce the kasra of ismu, and we're also not going to pronounce the long vowel long from ma. We're going to pronounce it short. So it's going to be pronounced mesmu. Mesmur rajuli. What is the name of the man? Okay, number six. Here, Ibn, we start the sentence with Ibn, so we're going to pronounce his vowel. Ibnu man anta. The son of who are you? Yani, whose son are you? Literally, the son of who are you? Here we have an idafa construction, but the second part, the mudhaf ilayhi man, is a word that's indeclinable. It's fixed. It's mabniyun with sukoon. So its vowel is not going to change to kasra, right? So we're going to say, ibnu man, the son of who? Anta. Whose son are you? Answer, ana ibnul waziri. Ana ibnul waziri. Ana ibnu al-wazir. But when we join them together, remember, ibnu has a word preceding it, so we're not going to pronounce it's kasra. And the word preceding it ends with a long vowel. So we're not going to pronounce this long vowel when it's followed by Hamzatul Wasl. So we're going to say, ana ibnu. Not ana ibnu. We're going to say, ana ibnul waziri. I am the son of the minister. Al-wazir means a minister, not a preacher in the church, but a minister in the government, like the interior minister or the foreign minister and so on. Okay, after this, we have come to the end of the exercises. Now we're going to do a oral quiz. I'm going to read the words. I want you to give me the English translation of the words as we go across from right to left and then down. Al-kalimatu al-jadidatu, the new words. The first word, ar-rasulu, means the messenger, as opposed to an-nabiyu, which means the prophet. Going across, al-ka'batu. It should be al-ka'batu. I don't know, it looks in my book, it has a fatha, but there's no reason for it to have a fatha. It should have a dhamma. Al-ka'batu means the house of Allah, yani at the sacred masjid in Mecca. Going across, al-ismu. Al-ismu, yani the name. Al-ibnu, meaning the son. Second line from right to left, al-ammu. Al-ammu, with shadda on the meme, means the uncle. What type of uncle? Paternal uncle, meaning yani the brother of your father. Next word, al-khalu. Al-khalu, also meaning uncle, but this time maternal uncle, yani the brother of your mother. Going across, al-haqibatu, al-haqibatu, meaning the bag, or briefcase, or pocketbook. Going across, as-sayyaratu, with shadda on the seen, because it's a sun letter, and shadda on the ya, because that's part of the word. As-sayyaratu, as-sayyaratu, meaning the car, the automobile. The last two words, al-haqibatu and al-sayaratu, end with ta marbuta. And this is the sign, as we'll be seeing in the next lesson, that a word is mu'annath, feminine. Going down to the third line, al-shari'u, al-shari'u. Again, shadda on the sheen, because it's a sun letter. Al-shari'u means the street. It also has another meaning, the one who legislates, the sharia. Al-Shari'u, the legislator. Going across, Mughlaqun. Mughlaqun, meaning closed or locked. It's the opposite of what? Maftuhun, which means open. Going across, Tahta, that's a adverb, an adverb. Yani, Zarf al-Makan, means under or underneath. And going across to the last word on this line, Hunaka. Hunaka means there or over there. And yani the opposite of it is huna, which means here. In the last line and last word, al-muhandisu means the engineer. The engineer. Okay, other words like this that we had previously, al-muhandis, we also had. Who knows the word for the doctor? Al-tabibu. Who knows the word for the teacher? Al-mudarrisu. The boy? Al-waladu. The student? Al-talibu. And so on. The merchant? Al-tajiru. Naam. Okay, so the end of this lesson is the box at the bottom. Sometimes at the end of a lesson they have a grammar box, which gives us an example or an explanation of the grammar in this lesson. In this particular case, the idafa construction, the construct phrase, composed again, as we said, of two words. The first word is called the mudaf. They say they are identifying it as the possessed. And the second word, the mudaf in ilayhi, the possessor. Okay, so in this particular example, we have sayyaratu al-mudarrisi. They said sayyara is the mudaf. And al-mudarrisi is the mudafun ilayhi. The rules for these two words, four rules. The first word never takes alif, lam, or tanween. Its i'rab can be marfun or mansub or majrur. Can take any vowel, depending on its function in the sense. The second word also has two rules. It must either take alif, lam, or tanween. And its vowel is always going to be, its case ending is always going to be majroor, primary sign being kasr. Okay, this is the end of this lesson. Alhamdulillah. This is a very important lesson. Please review it carefully in addition to, yani, during the next week, reviewing the previous lessons, yani, 1 through 4, before the lesson that we have just completed, 5 now. Okay, in the time that we have remaining, we want to preview lesson number 6. And let me just say that lesson number 6 and lesson number 7, both are short lessons. Lesson 7 is even shorter than lesson 6. So we're not going to take a long time with these lessons. That doesn't mean that they are not important. It just means that they're short lessons. So we're not going to just drag on. Okay, so please be prepared for lesson 6 and lesson 7. We're not going to take a long time with them. Okay, today we're going to look at the English key for lesson 6. And then next week we'll look at its exercises. There are only 5 exercises, but it does have a lot of vocabulary words. Yani, 21 vocabulary words. Okay, so even though lesson 6 is very short, yani, it only has 5 brief grammatical points, very, very brief grammatical points, and 5 exercises, but it does have a lot of vocabulary, so please be on top of the vocabulary. Lesson 7 is going to be even a shorter lesson, but this lesson does have quite a bit of vocabulary, so please pay attention to this. Okay. English key for lesson number 6. At the top of page 15, it says, in this lesson, we learn, number 1, hadhihi, hadhihi, which is the feminine of hadha. Yani, we had hadha in lesson 1. Now we're taking the feminine counterpart of hadha. Yani, this word is pronounced hadhihi, hadhihi, with a long vowel. It is pronounced hadhihi, but the alif, the long vowel, is omitted in writing. It's omitted in writing. So for short, we're just going to write a fatha above it. But in reality, it has to be pronounced as though there is a alif following the fatha, elongating it. So it's going to be pronounced hadhihi. In the same way that we said about hadha. The alif is not written, but it should be pronounced the first syllable long. Hadha. And hadhihi. Okay, then they give us an example. Hadha waladun wa hadhihi bintun. Hadha waladun, this is a boy. Wa and hadhihi bintun, this is a girl. Both of them are translated, hadha and hadhihi are both translated as this. Both of them are ism ishara for things which are near, qareeb. But one is for things which are masculine, hadha, and the other is for things which are feminine, hadhihi. So if you're pointing to something that is masculine and near and singular, you have to say hadha kitabun, hadha sarirun, hadha baytun. But if it's feminine, then we can't use hadha. For things which are near and which are singular but feminine, we can't use hadha. Now we learn that we're going to use hadhihi. Okay. Point, I want to now go to a second point. Yeah, yani, this is the second point of this lesson, second grammatical point. Okay, so we'll finish with the first point. Very simple, right? Hada and hadihi, masculine and feminine for things which are near. Remember in lesson 2 we had dhalika for things which are far. So also we're going to have in the next lesson tilka for things which are far, which are feminine singular. Okay, but for now we have hadihi, the counterpart of hadha. Point number two, yani has several sub points that we want to look at. Okay, point number two says nouns and adjectives are made feminine by adding ta marbuta at the end. Okay, this means that this doesn't happen with verbs or with particles. This is just for nouns and adjectives are made feminine by adding the letter ta marbuta at the end. Okay, so if you have a word like mudarris, you can make it feminine just by adding ta marbuta mudarrisatun. Mudarrisun, mudarrisatun. You have an adjective like kabirun. Kabirun, you want to make it feminine? Kabiratun. Saghirun, saghiratun. Muhandisun, muhandisatun. Okay, these are examples that we'll see later on. But for now, the point is, nouns and adjectives are made feminine by adding ta marbuta at the end. The last letter before this ta marbuta takes a fatha. Okay, so remember, even though the letter before you added ta marbuta may have been a dhamma, but once you add ta marbuta, that dhamma will be passed to the ta marbuta. And the last letter of the original word that may have had a dhamma before ta marbuta, the last letter before ta marbuta must always be fatha. Okay, so this is, yani, 2 points. Nouns and adjectives are made feminine by adding ta marbuta to the end of the word, and the letter before this ta marbuta must take a fatha vowel. Alright, now, next point that's part of, yani, this particular topic related to nouns and adjectives being feminine. Certain nouns have a separate form for feminine, yani a completely different form. So for ibnun, we have bintun. Yani, instead of just adding tarmabuta, although you can add tarmabuta and make ibnatun, but it also has a separate word altogether that's not made by adding tarmabuta. That is bintun. Ibnun, son. Bintun, daughter. Same thing. Akhun, brother. Ukhtun, sister. Instead of adding tarmabuta, there's a completely separate word. Okay, so certain nouns have a separate form for the feminine that's not made by adding ta marbuta. Okay, so this is another point. Okay, now let's go to the next point related to still the matter of what nouns and adjectives are made feminine by adding ta marbuta. All nouns in Arabic are either, this is a qa'idah, this is a principle. All nouns in Arabic are either masculine or feminine. Okay? Not so in English. Yani in English they have a neutral yani gender, right? But in Arabic it's either masculine or feminine. Everything. Humans, animals, inanimate things, everything has to come under the category of either being masculine, mudhakkar, or feminine, mu'annath. Feminine nouns and adjectives usually have the ta marbuta ending. Usually, note the word, usually. Feminine nouns and adjectives usually have the ta marbuta ending. But there are certain words which do not have this ta marbuta ending. So students, when learning a new noun, must learn its gender also. Meaning that if you learn a new noun or an adjective, if you learn a new word that is feminine and it doesn't have ta marbuta, you have to note that this word is feminine. Because there are certain feminine words, nouns and adjectives, that do not have the ta marbuta ending to tell you, to indicate, to remind you that it's feminine. So these words that are feminine and do not have the ta marbuta ending, you have to learn their gender as you learn their words. Okay, as a general rule, nouns and adjectives that are feminine end with ta marbuta, but there are some words that are feminine which do not have ta marbuta ending. Okay, a sub note to help you with identifying some words that are feminine but do not have Tamabuta ending, one of the rules related to that is double members of the body are usually feminine, while single members of the body are usually masculine. Okay, so this is a subdivision of the rule that there are words in Arabic which are feminine but do not have Tarmabuta ending. Well, one of the rules to help you to know that is that the parts of the body which are double, like you have two hands, two legs, two eyes, two ears, then this word, even though these words don't have Tarmabuta, they are feminine. Parts of the body that are single, you only have one of them, like one head, one nose, one mouth, one face, these words are going to be masculine. Okay, so parts of the body, double members of the body are usually feminine, while single members of the body are usually masculine. Okay, so this is the end of the first point of this lesson number 5. So what do we have here? We have number 1, hadhihi is the ism ishara, used for things which are feminine, near and singular. The second rule that we have is nouns and adjectives are made feminine by adding tarmabuta. Although there are some nouns in Arabic which are feminine that have a completely separate, yani, feminine form. There are some nouns that have a completely separate form, like akhun and ukhtun, yani that you don't add tarmabuta, rather have their own separate form. Okay, the rule that we have in this lesson is that all in Arabic, all nouns are either masculine or feminine. Okay, all nouns in Arabic are either masculine or feminine. But feminine nouns and adjectives, usually we know that they're feminine because they have ta marbuta endings. But however, there are certain words which are feminine which do not have that ending, so you have to pay attention to them. One of the things that you get help with is that the parts of the body that are in pairs are feminine, and the parts of the body that are not pairs are masculine. That's the general rule. So if you don't see ta marbuta but it's a part of the body that you have two of them, then you can, yani, be pretty much confident that it's feminine, even though there's no ta marbuta ending. Okay, the third point of this lesson, which is, it's just a continuation of a rule that we had before. In lesson 4, we had prepositions, right? So here's a new preposition, the preposition li. At the bottom of page 15, it says number 3, li, lam with kasra, is a preposition meaning belongs to or for. For example, hadha li bilalin. This belongs to Bilal, or this is for Bilal. If you gave somebody something for Bilal and you said hadha li bilalin, okay, I'm giving it to you, but it's not for you. This is for Bilal. So it has two meanings. This belongs to, or this is for so-and-so. Okay, so the sentence they gave us, hadha li bilalin, wa dhalika li hamidin. This belongs to Bilal, and that belongs to Hamid. Or this is for Bilal, and that is for Hamid. Okay, so li is a preposition, just like the prepositions we had in lesson 4, fi, ala, ila, min. It's a preposition. So the same rule applies, that is, that the noun after li, the object of the preposition li, is going to be ism majrur, a noun that's majrur with kasra. Okay, now they're taking us to a subdivision of the rules related to li, that when li is used with the love of the Jalala, Allah, then the word is written without its aleph. The word Allah is written without its aleph. So if you want to say the praise belongs to Allah, you don't say Alhamdu li Allahi. You don't say li Allah, you just say Lillahi. The aleph is omitted. Alhamdu Lillahi. Note that the word Allahu becomes Lillahi, belonging to Allah, by just dropping the aleph from Allah. No lam need be added to the word, because there's already a lam in the beginning of the word Allah, right? Just remove the aleph and add kasra. Alhamdu lillahi. And this is, yani, for any word that begins with aleph lam, when you add li before the aleph lam, you just remove the aleph. Okay, just remove the aleph. Then they gave us another construction. With li, sometimes li is used with men. Li means for or belonging to. So li plus men, which means who, right? Li men means whose or belonging to whom. Yani li belonging to men means who or whom, liman, whose is this? Yani, for example, they gave us liman hadha, to whom belongs this, or yani, whose is this? The next example they gave us, liman al-kitabu, liman al-kitabu, yani literally, to whom belongs the book, or whose is the book? Here I want to note that, or they have a note here, that note that men in liman al-kitabi becomes many, many, when followed by alif lam. Okay, this is a rule that you have to pay attention to. It's a rule of pronunciation. It has nothing to do with grammar. Yani, remember we said that men is indeclinable. It's fixed. It's mabniun. It doesn't change its vowel for i'rab. But for pronunciation, we can change the vowel just to join. Because if we have li men, and men has sukoon followed by l, which also has sukoon, we have the meaning of two, and that is with sukoon, and we always have to eliminate that. So we just put a kasra on there just for pronunciation. It has nothing to do with men being majroor because of li. No, it's just for pronunciation. Please pay attention to this, that the word men becomes many, not because of yani li making it majroor, but rather because of it being followed by another letter with sukoon. And you can't have two letters with sukoon back to back in Arabic, so you have to put a vowel on it. Here they said, add kasra. Liman al-kitab. To whom belongs the book, or whose book is this? Okay, the next point, and we actually over time, is aydan means also. For example, hadha jameelun. This is beautiful. Wa dhalika aydan jameelun. And that is also beautiful. Now the word aydan, which means beautiful, which means also, it is pronounced aydan. The tanween is pronounced. Unless if you use it at the end of a sentence, then the rules of tanween, yani the alif means that we're not going to pronounce the tanween. We're going to pronounce it as a long vowel. Ayda. That's only if you stop on it or it's at the end of the sentence. Okay. The last word is jiddan, with shadda on the dal. Means very. For example, hadha kabirun jiddan, with shadda on the dal. Jiddan, this is very big. Okay, so aydan means also, jiddan means very. These are just two words that have meaning that you have to pay attention to. Otherwise, for this lesson, what you should be paying attention to, that you should focus upon, is hadhihi, is the counterpart of hadha, ism ishara, for things which are near and singular. Hadha for masculine, hadhihi for feminine. To make nouns and adjectives feminine in Arabic, you usually add a ta marbuta. However, there are some words where you don't add ta marbuta. It's just a separate word for the feminine noun. And also, we should know that, as a general rule, all nouns in Arabic are either masculine or feminine. And feminine nouns usually tell you they are feminine by adding ta marbuta, but there are certain words which are feminine which do not have ta marbuta. The last point is li is a preposition meaning belonging to or for. And it's sometimes coupled with the word men, limen, to whom belongs this. And this is the end of the English key for lesson six, I mean. So, the only thing remaining is the vocabulary. We didn't go over the vocabulary, but we're at the end of our time, so we're going to stop here. Next week, inshallah, we're going to review the English key. Just review it. Yani, summarize it. We're going to read the vocabulary, and then we're going to go to the Arabic text for lesson number 6 and the exercises. And inshallah, in the next lesson, we will finish lesson 6 and probably preview lesson 7. So please, yani, be prepared. Yani, in the next couple of days, tonight and tomorrow and the next day, you should be reviewing lessons 1 through 4. Or I should say lessons 1 through 5, because we finished lesson 5. And you should be previewing lesson 6. Yani, reviewing the English key which we have just read, and previewing the vocabulary and the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson and the exercises. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We're going to just take a 1 minute or half a minute break, and then we're going to come right back and start.